This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. When it comes to guiding patrons and tour groups, most museums supplement their professional staff with volunteer docents. The number of arts-loving baby boomers now volunteering at museums is expected to grow more than 20% in the next 5 years. Sounds like a win-win, right? Well, sometimes the free help is not so helpful. The guides go rogue, improvising tours, ignoring rules, touching priceless works, and relaying incorrect information. Ellen Gammerman wrote about Docents Gone Wild for the Wall Street Journal. And Ellen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So are most museum docents in this boomer demographic?
Many of them are, for the simple reason that they have the time, if they're in the boomer demographic that has actually retired. But museums are trying to sort of rebrand themselves in many cases, attract a younger crowd, a more diverse crowd. And part of that means trying to bring in more younger tour guides and change their programs. But the baby boomers are well represented in this group, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the more memorable stories you've heard of unhinged docents?
Okay, well, I should preface all of it by saying to all the docents out there that for every story that I have about docents becoming unhinged, there are many examples of very dedicated, professional people doing this free work for museums that rely on them for this essential service. But having said that, I was at a conference of museum professionals in April, and one of the panels was called Waking Up from Volunteer Nightmares. And there in this conference room at 8:30 in the morning, it was packed. There were stories of bickering spouses, problems with touching the art, as you mentioned.
You actually also heard some stories of people giving false information about the artwork.
Well, yeah, and this is something that if you talk to enough volunteer supervisors, they will tell you happens all the time. The U.S. Midway Museum in San Diego, which has a very robust volunteer corps, they send out what they call the bum dope report every so often, and it just lists the bloopers that they've heard around the ship from different docents, and then you find out what was said, you find out what you should say. I have heard from a lot of museum goers who have said when they've approached their docent and after a tour and gently said, you know, actually that thing you said is wrong, they haven't always felt so comfortable kind of confronting the docent who feels pretty confident in their study and in their information. There was this one case I spoke with, a tourist. She had visited the old exchange and provost dungeon in Charleston, South Carolina, and her colonial docent went off script, started improvising, and said, well, I'm going to tell you this, and I just made it up, but it could be true. And she looked at her friends and just couldn't believe what she'd heard and thought, I just paid for that?
So docents just kind of overstepping their bounds, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, one volunteer manager I spoke with at the Hirshhorn Museum in Washington, you know, she said that there's this culture of resistance, and they've been really trying to change their program, and she felt that some of the volunteers had felt that after spending enough time there, they felt entitled, and they didn't want to make changes from the way they had previously done things. So when the Hirshhorn changed its program, tried to bring in more college-age students, and some of the volunteers who had been giving tours at the Hirshhorn for longer than their managers probably had been alive, you know, in some of these cases decades, you know, they felt very disrespected and insulted and forced out.
Well, what does it take to become a tour guide or a volunteer docent? Is it a competitive thing at museums?
It can be. At some of the big city museums, it can be quite a status symbol and quite competitive. You can apply and not even get into the training. You know, at the Whitney Museum in New York, they get more than 100 applications for what ends up being about 30 slots in the training. And over the course of months and months and months of training, 10 people may drop out. So the graduating class is about 20 people who have studied and learned about gesturing and eye contact. It's not just sort of the art history side of it, but they're also learning about body language and how to engage a crowd. So a lot of people take it quite seriously, and a lot of museums take it very seriously.
Okay, so are there any real success stories when it comes to that docent-museum relationship?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all over. And like I said, they are kind of a lifeblood of many of these museums that need the staff and can't afford them. I spoke with people at military museums where a lot of the volunteers are veterans, and some of the people who are giving the tours have incredible backstories, you know, the experiences that they've had as combat veterans or prisoners of war or what have you. So there's a lot that these docents and tour guides and volunteers may find they have in common with each other, and those experiences can really enrich a tour if you're on a warship and the person you're talking to was a prisoner of war, let's say, in Vietnam, which is the case on the Midway Museum. You know, you can have quite a conversation there.
Mm. I wonder if it was tough for you, Ellen, to get museum personnel to go on record about docents. It could disturb that relationship quite a bit if they were heard to be complaining about their docents.
Yeah, because you just can't. I mean, in a lot of cases, a volunteer might be the wife of a huge contributor, or just, you know, just a very nice person who has worked there for years, you just whatever. You don't want to insult the people who are working right next to you. But at the same time, you know, there's mounting frustration. One museum staffer described it on the record as mutiny on the Bounty. You know, and you know, they're trying to rein in people who don't necessarily feel like being told what to do.
Well, Ellen, a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ellen Gammerman, she covers arts and entertainment for the Wall Street Journal. That's where we found her article, Docents Gone Wild. And you can find a link to read it at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.